And you know what? The Lord is so good. Today, it was a good day, like every other day should be. But got to spend a little extra time with the Lord today and having a conversation with Him and just reading over some stuff and, you know, just having refreshers. Got to sit in the pastor's office, socially distanced, of course, and had a good conversation with my pastor today and just got encouraged. And you know what? It's good. It is fantastic. Got to hang out with the children a little bit. You know, the Lord is good. Amen. You see, during this time, you can see a lot of things that you could get sad and depressed about, but thank the Lord, we can have the joy of the Lord on the inside of us. We can have faith built up on the inside of us. Man, we can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so I'm a little excited tonight because, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. All we need to know is that we win. Amen? We are believers. And so I'm excited tonight. So let's get right into the Word. That was all free. That was not in my notes. But tonight we're going to be talking about the enemies of faith. And so if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. I'll get you guys to go over there real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. And we'll start in the New Living Translation. And it says, "Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses." So there you go. Fight the good fight of true faith. And so that's something that we have to understand, that as believers, we are called to fight the good fight of faith. Now, it's kind of interesting, because a lot of times people think that it's supposed to be easy when you're a believer. Now, that's not right. They wouldn't call it a good fight of faith for nothing if it was easy. And so that means we are going to be battling. We're going to be fighting. We're going to have situations. We're going to have things that's going to come in our way that's going to try and mess us up. We're going to have situations that are going to try and bring us down. You know what? Every day, you know, you're going to face something. You have an opportunity to face something, I should say. But it's up to you on how you deal with it. Well, for every believer and follower of Christ, we have been given so much. We have eternal life. Our sins have been forgiven. We have divine health, healing, prosperity. You know, Scripture tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ. Come on now. Scripture says that we've been given all spiritual blessings. But we can only access all of these wonderful things through the faith in our dear Lord. The reality is that a lot of times we don't realize what actually belongs to us. We kind of let things go by the wayside and we kind of forget about it. Well, it's important that we stay connected up and that we kind of protect our faith and that we mess with these things or we come at these things that are trying to mess us up. So, like I said, tonight we're going to be talking about enemies of faith. And so tonight, you know, we're going to come to a realization there are enemies to our faith. There are things out there that is trying to get us off our A game. There are things out there that's trying to tear us down. The Scripture tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the things of the air. And that's talking about evil spirits. That's talking about things that's right direct from Satan. And that's not things of God. And we don't wrestle with against people, but we wrestle with the situation that's going on there. So once again, there are enemies to faith, hindrances that buffet us from receiving what God has for us. So let's have a look at some of these, shall we? The first one that we want to touch on here tonight is failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. Failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Amplified Classic Edition, it says, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come." Now, sometimes we don't feel all that new and all that fresh. Amen? You know, sometimes we can be stuck in the house for a little while and, you know, you just don't feel that great. Especially during some of these lockdowns and things that's going on in the world and limited on what you're supposed to be doing, well, you don't always feel like a new creature. But let me tell you something. That's who you are. That's what the Scripture says you are. Now, failure to understand that you're a new creature in Christ is going to cause you much heartache and headache and grief in your Christian walk. You're going to face, things that's going to pop up and that, you know, the old man's going to want to rise up. Think about before you were born again. Think about what type of person you were. You know, you could have been like an old fisherman, old railroader, old trapper, you know. You could have worked at whatever you've done before in your past. The Lord only knows. And, you know, think about the things that you've done. Now, don't think too hard because you might get a little sad and depressed. Nah, we're all angels here. But, you know, think about the things that we used to be like, just for a quick second. You know, some things that we did, they weren't that great. Well, praise Jesus, old things have passed away. Once we accepted Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, Scripture tells us that those things were taken away. Just not covered up, just not, you know, lightly dusted away, but thrown away, wiped away, washed away. It is gone. You're a new creature in Christ now, ladies and gentlemen. Whole new species, one translation says. So that's kind of interesting when you think about it. You see, we got to understand that once you're engrafted in Christ, and once you're in the kingdom of God, you're not of this world anymore. Scripture tells us we are aliens. No. But we are different. We're set apart. And so we have to understand this, you know. And like I said, failure to understand that you are a new creature in Christ is really going to be devastating to us. The enemy is going to dominate you. Because if he can keep you thinking on the way that you used to be and be like, man, oh man, look at the things that you've done. And you're going to be full of regret. You're going to be full of anxiety and stress over things that happened in the past. Well, he's just going to rule and dominate you. How can you move forward when you're stuck going backwards? It's just not going to work now, is it? So we have to be focusing on, you know, going forward, moving ahead, doing what God wants us to do. And we need to make sure that we know that we are a new creature in Christ. Especially, you know, let's look at that scripture verse one more time there. In 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. A new creature altogether. That means that your old manner of thinking, your old way of life, just the way that you were before, has changed. Now, you have to do something with that. You have to put that on. The option is for you to do it. You know, you can get down on your knees and repent and ask Jesus to be your Lord and personal Savior, you know. And sometimes there's this glorious, miraculous thing that takes place, and if you struggle with addictions or with certain things, you've been delivered right away. I've heard testimonies of that. But to some more people, they still struggle. You know, it might be with tobacco or drinking or gambling or Lord knows what. But you see, it's something that you have to work at. It's something that you have to do. You have to choose to be a new creature in Christ. You have to do something about it. And so, you know, it's kind of exciting when you think about it because we have a part to play in this. You know, God just didn't design us to sit down and do nothing. God designed us to go and be a part of this and have action to do. We have a part to play in becoming a new creature in Christ. And because we are a new creature in Christ, we are a representation of the Father, and therefore we need to be a reflection of Him on what He's done in us. So the change that took place on the inside, we need to make sure that it's an appearance on the outside. Amen? Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good here tonight. Settle down now. All right. Second one that I want to talk about here is the failure to understand our place in Christ. Brother Hagin, someone who we're all very familiar with and someone we've talked about and we've read his books and we've done all those things for many years, he has a little book, a mini book called In Him. How many of you have read that book, In Him? It's only, I don't know, what is it, 30 pages or something like that? Just a little tiny mini book. It is a very good book. And it talks about who we are in Christ. And there are around 140 references in Scripture based around in Him, in Christ, in whom, in all of that in the New Testament for us to read and study and to learn who we are in Christ. If we don't know who we are, the enemy is going to have a heyday with us. Everyone say heyday. Thank you. Heyday. Heyday in with us. The solution is that we have to get into the Word and we have to get into the In Him Scriptures and figure out what in the world the Bible says about us. Now, I took the liberty a while ago and I didn't realize I did this, but I actually got the majority of them typed out. I kind of forgot I did this. When I was looking through my computer today, I came across a file that said, In Him. And when I opened it up, well, lo and behold, I got, I'd probably say there's 140 scriptures of In Him, in Christ, in whom, scriptures I have typed up here. You know? And as I was reading through it, I actually remembered doing this. And so let's just look at a few of these scriptures real quick. Sorry, Miss Kendra, they're not in my notes there. This was a last-minute add here. She's shaking her head at me. Oh, dear, but she still loves me. She's my wife, so she has to love me. We signed the contract and put a ring on it. See, she's got to love me. Amen? Now she's back there making jokes about me. Oh, Lord. Well, let's see. Romans 3:24. It says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we have been justified. Amen? Romans 8:1. Here's another one about in Him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation to us that are in Him. Amen? So we don't longer have to feel inferior. We don't have to feel condemned by the things that we've done in our past. Those things are gone. They're washed away. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of Christ of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been set free from sin and death because of who we are in Christ. Amen? Let's just camp out there for a second. All right, so we're no longer that same person that we used to be. When we're not born again, who are we dominated by? The devil. That's who's ruling and reigning over us. But you see right there, it tells us that, first of all, we looked at Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. And that, and then over in Romans 8:2, the next verse down, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, we no longer have to have a spiritual death anymore. We're no longer bound for hell. We're no longer on that highway to hell anymore. Amen? We're no longer going down, but we have been set free, delivered. Amen? Born again. Y'all should be shouting and running around the living room right now because of who you are in Christ. All right, let's just look at a couple more before we get to our next point. I don't want to take too long because there's hockey games on tonight and some people really want to watch the hockey games, eh? It's okay, Pastor. Toronto's not playing and nor is Boston, so we're okay. We're good till 10 o'clock at least. That's when, who's playing at 10? Is it Vancouver? Montreal. Oh, that's sorry. We can go on past that. Jerry. Sorry, Jerry. We love you, brother Jerry. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Woohoo! 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. It's kind of interesting there. When we stick to the old ways, well, old things pass away. But when we're in Christ, we have eternal life. Things move forward, amen? So there you go. And that's just a few of them there. And we can search out, we can talk about this till the cows come home, about our in Him and in whom, in Christ, all those things. But we're going to continue on our conversation here of enemies to faith. So first, the one that we looked at was the failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. The second one is the failure to understand our place in Christ. And so our place is that we are in Christ. We are in Christed. That's who we are. You see, we are connected to the body of Christ. How is that? Well, because we are the body. He is the head. You see, what took place many years ago, over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on that cross, He went to hell. He took our sin, sickness, disease, all the yucky things. And when He ascended back up into heaven a few days later, well, something took place. Well, when He was raised up, we were raised also. And so we are now the body of Christ. We are connected to Christ. Now, the church is the body. Jesus is the head. Now, let's think about this for a second. Our place is that, you know, we are with Christ. Where is Christ right now? Scripture tells us that He is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father is where Jesus is today. And guess who sat there with Him? We are. How does that work? Well, praise God. Like I said, we are the body. He is the head. The head is connected to the body. We were raised up together with Christ. Amen? Well, you may say, I'm still here on earth. Well, we're talking spiritually speaking here. That's who we are. And one day, when Christ returns, well, we're going to rule and reign with Him for the millennium, and that's a whole different conversation for another time on the end time stuff, and that's a great thing to look forward to. But we have to know and understand our place in Christ. So we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, in the place of authority. Yes, we have authority. Now that authority is what gives us the legal right to speak to the devil, telling he has no right to deal with us, to be messing with us, to tell him to go. We tell sickness, we tell disease, we tell anxiety, depression, lack, all those things, they have to go in the name of Jesus. Why? Because of our position in Christ. We are engrafted in Christ. We are connected with Christ. We are one with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you want to know who you are? Like I said, get that little book, In Him book. Get those faith books that Miss Anita talked about. Go, you know, get on the chat right now and tell them you want those things. We'll make sure you can get those out of the Word Shop. Go check out those In Him scriptures. Go, the Bible is full of it. The New Testament is full of it. Go see what's in there that speaks to you. The next one that we're going to talk about, the next enemy to faith, is the failure to understand righteousness. And this is something where a lot of people tend to struggle with. 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the Amplified, it says, "For our sake He made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through Him we might become endued with, viewing as being in an example of, the righteousness of God, which we ought to be, approved and acceptable in the right relationship with Him by His goodness." What does that tell you? That tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, is what that tells us right there. Now, righteousness is one of the most least understood biblical concepts. This is something a lot of people really struggle with, and they have a lot of issues with trying to figure out. You know, a lot of people think they're unworthy, they're not righteous, they're not holy enough, they're not this, they're not that, they don't know what belongs to them. Well, we have to understand, it is very important for us to know this, because righteousness means you are right standing with God. The moment you accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you became in good standing with God. You became the righteousness of God in Christ. And so you were put into the place where you were meant to be. We are where we're supposed to be with God. And now we have, you know, now once we become born again, we are instantaneously made righteous. As soon as we become born again, it's an instantaneous condition of the believer once they accept Jesus. So as soon as you say, "Jesus, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart, be my Savior," boom, you're the righteousness of God in Christ right there. That's pretty interesting. So we have to understand what's in our righteousness. Well, in our righteousness, we have power in prayer. We are co-heirs with Christ. Amen? We are overcomers. We have things that's available to us, man. We have so many things, you know. We have authority in there. We can come to the throne of God with boldness and excitement, but not arrogant, though. But we can come with boldness to the Father. You know, He treats us as His very own children. All those things are in our righteousness. And that is because, you know, that belongs to us. But now, you got to understand that if you don't understand those things, who you are in Christ, and that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, well, when you're facing something, what's going to happen? Well, the devil's going to mess you up. You got a failure to understand your righteousness. Well, that's a killer of faith. Because let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, if you're facing a situation, you got sickness or disease in your body, and you don't realize that, you know what, sickness doesn't belong to you, but rather divine health and healing belongs to you. And if you have no understanding that these things belong to you, what's going to happen? Who's going to dominate you? Well, exactly right. The devil's going to dominate you, and you're going to be there sick and dying and full of all types of stuff. It's the same thing, you know, if you're struggling with things in your mind, or, you know, you're struggling with anxiety and depression and loneliness and all those things. Well, we got to get into the Scripture. We got to understand that, you know what, we are loved, and that we do have someone who cares for us, and that we have someone who's looking out for us, who's protecting us, who's guiding us, who's leading us. We have a Father in heaven. You know, He looks at us and treats us as His very own children. I have 4 kids. Praise God. You know, and these children, they have legal rights in my house. They can come in, they can swing open the fridge door, and they can grab a snack, they can go into the pantry and get something. You know, they can do whatever they want. Now, some random person can't come off the street and come on into my pantry or into my door, you know, or into my fridge. That ain't going to happen. That's not right, because if they do, Miss Kendra's going to chase them out with the broom. You know? But our kids, they'll come in, man. I mean, little Timmy jumps. He's something else, that little guy. He'll come in, he'll rip the handles right off the door, and he'd be like, I'm hungry. Well, go get something, buddy. You know? And he'll go right to town, sir, and he'll eat whatever is there. He's a grown little boy. Benjamin, same thing. Abigail. Now, Aaliyah, she's only, what, eight and a half months old, so she hasn't quite got it figured out yet, but boy, I'm going to tell you, she's eating good. Hallelujah. She's growing. But, you know, it's awesome because these kids, they have rights and privileges. If they need something from dad and mom, they know they got to go ask mom. If they ask mom and dad, 9 chances out of 10, they're probably going to get it within reason, you know? We're going to make sure that our kids have more than enough. You know, I love my children. I'll do anything in this world for my kids. You know, sometimes my wife gets a little bit mad at me because, you know, I like to tend to spoil my kids sometimes, and I like to get stuff for them that they probably don't need. But, you know, I'm just that type of a person. I'm that type of a daddy. I just love my children. And so we have to understand that, you know, as being the righteousness of God in Christ and as being engrafted in Christ and being a part of this whole family is that we're King's kids. We belong to God and our Heavenly Father loves us so, so very much. So I love my kids. Scripture says that He cares for the sparrow. So He makes sure that the bird, the little tiny bird's got food to eat and somewhere to sleep. So how much more does He care about His prized creation? Amen? That's something to be excited about there. So listen, you're sitting there right now on your couch or wherever you are, and you might be feeling bad this week or sad or depressed this week. You know what? Give your head a little bit of a shake and say, thank you, Jesus. Because I got God. He loves me. He takes care of me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am no longer that old creature. I trust in Him. I believe in Him. I trust in the Lord. I have faith in Him. Old devil, you got no right to be messing with me anymore. I don't need these hindrances to my faith. I don't need these enemies of faith. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on now. I am a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. I am enchristed. I am engrafted together. I am connected to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we got to understand here too, you know, being the righteousness of God in Christ, there's lots of benefits, and we already touched on that. But then what happens if we mess up? Oh, boy. Well, all right, look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. That's the bunch of little Johns in the back of the Bible there. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 in the Amplified. And it says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously... Everyone say continuously. Say it a little bit louder. Continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything not in conformity to His will and purpose, thought and action. If a Christian messes up and asks God for forgiveness, he does two things. First thing is, he forgives them. And the second thing is, he cleanses them from all unrighteousness. So don't let the devil tell you that you are still nothing but a dirty sinner, that you are just filthy rotten, that you're worthless, that you're a piece of trash. Look what you did. You had a bad thought. You said a bad word. You done something wrong. That's it. You're damned to hell. Well, no, that's not the way it is. You know what? Scripture tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, we've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. But right here, well, it says if we freely admit that we've sinned and confess our sins, if we have a conversation with God and tell Him, Father, I'm sorry, I've messed up, I've made a mistake. Guess what He's going to do? When you ask for that forgiveness, He's got you, bro. He's going to make sure that you are clean, set free, delivered, hallelujah, born again. That's who you are. Here's another one for you. Number 4, if you're keeping notes, is failure to understand our right to use the name of Jesus. Now, there is so much power in this beautiful name. John chapter 16, Big John. Towards the New Testament, the beginning of the New Testament here. John chapter 16, verse 23 to 24 in the New Living Translation. And it says, at that time, You won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have an abundant joy. You see, we have the legal right to use the name of Jesus. There is power in that name of Jesus. Demons have to flee in the name of Jesus. You know, cancer has to go in the name of Jesus. Depression has to go in the name of Jesus. Blind eyes have to open in the name of Jesus. Heart condition has to straighten out in the name of Jesus. Come on now, livers have to work in the name of Jesus. Addictions have to go in the name of Jesus. Finances have to come in the name of Jesus. Coronavirus has to go in the name of Jesus. Come on now. Oh, well, we're getting all crazy up here. Well, this is facts, ladies and gentlemen. We have power in the name of Jesus. You know, we sing that name. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. To break every chain. Well, come on now. We need to start using that name of Jesus to break every chain of bondage that's in our lives. Because if we don't do that, well, that's going to destroy your faith. That's going to destroy you. That's going to hold you in bondage. You know, if you don't believe in the name of Jesus, if you don't use that beautiful name of Christ, come on now, you're going to be trapped, you're going to be stuck, you're going to be down in a bad place. Now let me tell you something, it's not always easy doing these things that we're talking about. You know, sometimes you don't feel like believing and trusting. Sometimes you don't feel like being happy. Sometimes you don't feel like trusting in the Lord. Is that only me? Am I the only one that feels like that? Or anyone else here feel like that? Oh, yeah, maybe. No, Pastor Ken? Yeah, no? I'm sorry, I just haven't arrived. I'm sorry. No, we all face situations in our life where we just don't feel like we're being righteous, or we just don't feel like, you know, putting on Jesus today. Well, okay, but guess what? You do it anyway. During this last, how many years have we been in this now? I'm joking. But this last little while, during these lockdowns and all those things, you know, it has been taxing on people. It has been really hard on some people. I've had conversations with different people who, you know, they're struggling mentally, physically as well. You know, the isolation and the separation and the negativity and, you know, all those things are really getting to them. Well, let me tell you something. You have to use the name of Jesus. You have to get in there and you have to believe Jesus. It says right there. Look at that scripture verse again. Verse 23 in John chapter 16. In that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You ask the Father directly, and he will grant you your request because you use my name. What name are we using there? The name of Jesus. So, in the name of Jesus, depression has to leave. In the name of Jesus, anxiety has to go. In the name of Jesus, we need to be set free, delivered. Amen. And so use that beautiful name of Jesus. You know, we learned about the awesome power that's in the name of Jesus, and we realize how mighty it really is. You know, we can walk over Satan in victory. Because let me tell you something, a little secret about Satan. He was already defeated over 2,000 years ago. Jesus already overcame him. Oh man, he defeated Satan. He whipped his behind. And then he made a show of him in hell, on earth, and in heaven. Now, we're still going to be messing with, you know, different things that's going to be coming our way. Little demons are going to be trying to, you know, little imps are going to be trying to bug us with different things. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We already have the victory. We just need to walk in that victory. We walk in the beauty that God has set before us. We are the righteousness of God in Christ, and we have power and the legal right to use the name of Jesus. Look at another scripture verse here in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 17 in the New Living, and it says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Just not somebody, everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. Let me tell you something. You're going to be able to, well, you can, and we need to speak to those situations, those evil spirits, those things that, you know, oppression upon us. We need to speak to those situations and tell them they have to go. Some of you right now are dealing with some things in your life that needs to go. Well, I'll join my faith with yours right now. In the name of Jesus, that situation has to clear up right now. I believe that whatever you're going through right now, it has to be taken care of right now in the name of Jesus. Come on now, stretch your hands towards the TV screen or the computer and just receive it right now. Some of you are latching on to it. Financial issues have to go. Come on, there you go. Depression has to go. There it is. Come on now, in the name of Jesus, we speak to those situations. Thank you, Father. Woo! Man, I'm going to preach myself happy. Pastor Roma's back there all smiley and stuff. Man, it's happening. I'm going to have another sip of this stuff. That's good. All right. Here's another one for us. Another hindrance to our faith and that thing that's going to try and get us off of where we need to be is failure to act upon the Word. Well, I guess the secret to this is that we have to know what's in the Word. If we believe that the Word of God is true, then we need to act as it's true. Faith without actions is what? Dead? Absolutely. So if the Word of God says it, well, then we need to believe it, and that should settle it. You know? Doesn't say, well, if the Word of God says it, you know, says it, or says, I'm sorry, my English isn't that great. But if the Word of God says it, you know, that doesn't mean that it might be true or a part of it is true. What the Word of God says is true. So we need to stand on the Word of God, act like it's true, and then you're going to receive it because it's true. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, New Living Translation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. You know, sometimes us humans, we try and figure things out in our heads, and we try to rationalize things and figure things out. You know, we love reasoning. We love to try and figure things out all the time on this planet. You know, why this works, or why this goes up, or why this goes down, or, you know, why this is happening, and all this stuff. We try and figure things out. Listen, stop trying to figure it out on your own. Stop trying to reason out your situation and your problems. But see what the Word of God says. Don't try and change the Word of God based on your situation. Change your situation based on the Word of God. That's a good Facebook status right there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. I'm so thankful I don't have to trust on my own understanding, because that's not worth a bag of rocks. You know, I got to trust in the Lord every day. I got to trust in the Lord, you know, that He's going to protect me, that He's looking after me. I got to take Him that His Word is true. I got to believe the Lord for finances. I got to believe the Lord for health. I got to trust in the Lord that my children are protected, that my wife is protected, even our dear old doggy is protected. You know, unfortunately, our little fish didn't make it. I should have had a little bit more faith for him, but he passed away. Poor little fishy. That's okay. They're more bait anyway for bigger fish. But failure to act upon the Word. People often have head knowledge, but they don't have the heart knowledge. There's a disconnect between here and here somewhere. There's lots of people I know, and they can quote you scripture till they're blue in the face, but they haven't really applied it to their hearts. Let me tell you something. The devil himself knows scripture. You know, but what use is that to him other to try and twist it around and deceive people? See, the thing is that we have to get into the Word of God. You know, one of our kids in youth used to say the B-I-B-L-E, you know, basic instruction before leaving earth. You know, you need to get into the Bible and see what it says so we have an understanding of what it says. We have to know what instructions in there. Like every situation you're facing in life, there's some information in the Bible on how you can get through those things. It's amazing what's in the Word of God. In the New Testament, there's lots of great stuff that applies to us today. Old Testament, there's a lot of stuff in there that shows us the way things were for our encouragement and even, you know, how we apply them today in our lives. It is just fantastic. You know? Well, we got to look at it this way. If the Word of God says we're healed, does that mean that we might be healed or we may be healed, you know, or healings for some people? No, it says we're healed. We have to act upon that Word of God. But it only works if we do something about it. We have to spend some time into the Word of God. You know, the devil wants you to have no clue on what the Word of God says. See, that's how the Lord communicates to you. He talks to you, but through His Word. You know, when you pray, you know, you're talking to Him. Not always do you hear a big booming voice from heaven or a burning bush or something of the, you know, of the sort. And you might not have a donkey talking to you, you know, giving you a mighty word from the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. If you're looking for a word from the Lord? Open up this thing. See what it says. It's full of a word. The whole thing's the word of the Lord, man. If you want a special word, open up the Bible and see what it says. Don't neglect the word. Don't just think, well, I'll just go to church and just listen to pastors preach every now and then, and maybe I'll turn on a podcast once in a while. You know, no, that's not the way it works. You need to get into yourself and dig through it and see what it says. I'm going to tell my grandma a little bit, bless her heart. My grandma, and you know, she's a great inspiration to me. She's had some struggles with her eyesight over the years and whatnot, and to the point to where she can't really read anymore. But you know what she does? She has an audio Bible. And she sits down, and she turns on her audio Bible, and she's got, well, actually, I know for a fact she's wore one of those audio Bibles out. Yeah, I know, it's like an MP4 machine that plays, and she actually wore it out, listening to the Bible, listening to the Scripture. And she's on another one right now, you know, going through the Bible. You know, and every now and then she tells me stuff about it and what she's listening to and where she's at. And that's exciting. She's into the Word of God. She's having, you know, she's having that fellowship. She knows what the Word of God says. Amen? And so that's inspiration to me. You know, I can't hold a candle to that right now, and I'm striving to. But man, just to sit down and listen to the Word of God or read the Word of God like that, that is phenomenal. You know? And so we need to make sure we're into the Word of God. And number six, the last one I want to get to here tonight, is failure to hold fast to our confession. Now, believe it or not, but this is very important in our faith walk, is your confession. Romans 10:10 in the New Living Translation, it says, "For it is by believing in your heart that you have been made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." So in order for us to be born again, we have to say, we have to speak, declare it, confess it, that we're born again. And so at one point or another, we've all had one point that we've had to confess that we are born again. We must speak the word, ladies and gentlemen. The reason that many Christians are defeated is because they have negative confession, and unfortunately, they tend to fall into that trap, and that's why they get caught up in all this negativity, and that's very sad. You know, it's so easy to be caught up with the doom and gloom that's going on in the world today. You turn on the news, and all you hear is this is falling apart, and this is bad, and there's riots here. Numbers are increasing here. There's bad stuff happening over there. So-and-so died. So-and-so is fighting. This is happening. We're bankrupt, yada, yada, yada. Man, you just turn on the news. If you want to be depressed, you just turn on the TV. That's all you need to do. But if you want to get uplifted and full of, you know, positivity, turn off the TV, get into the Word, and start confessing some positivity over your life. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the head and not the tail. Your body is healed and set free and delivered. You are born again. You are delivered. You are not addicted. Come on now. Your body does what it's supposed to do. It is working right. Amen? You are good looking. Woo! I am blessed. I am not stressed. We need to be having these confessions. What you confess is what you are. If you keep saying, oh man, I'm so sick. You know, I'm from Newfoundland, if you, those of you who don't know. And Newfoundlanders, bless their hearts, they have some of very interesting commentary on things. And we don't mean nothing by it. It's just words, but you know, it sounds not right. This, you know, I remember growing up, and if you had the flu or the cold or something, and you know, the thing would come out of your mouth, someone asked you how you're doing, you'd be like, oh boys, I'm dying. You're dying with the cold, or I'm loaded with the cold. And every now and then, and still in, you know, our Newfoundland household, we tend to let that slip out every now and then, or I'm loaded with the cold. I'm just dying with the flu. Well, don't be saying that. You know? Boy, is he some sick. He's sick as a dog. Well, I have sicker dogs. I've heard that, but I don't understand the sick as a dog thing, but we have to watch our confession. You see, as believers, we need to make sure that we are confessing the Word of God. So we need to be confessing those things, those positive things over our lives. Every morning when we were driving our kids to school, myself and my wife and our kids, we would do a confession on the way to school over our children. You know, we'd thank the Lord for the day, we'd pray over them, and then, you know, we thank the Lord for blessing us and keeping our children safe. And we thank the Lord that, you know, the school was safe, the kids were safe, the teachers were safe, the mom and dad was going to have a good day, everyone's going to have good attitudes and get lots of work done and learn lots of new things and have a great day. And we would say that every time we drop them off through school doors. You know? And then the kids would say, and they'd say, "Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen." And that was their little agreement part that they would say. You know? And so these kids, once we started saying that and started doing this more often, you know, our kids hardly ever had a sniffle, never had no major situations at school. You know, they'd get their work done, they'd learn new things, they'd get good grades, all these things. And that's just the power of confession, just believing it. And the kids are believing it. Amen? As believers, we have to make sure that we stay alert to all types of enemies that's going to try and destroy your faith and get you off your guard, mess you up, try and get you down in the dumps. We need to take hold of our lives and get a hold of those things that's trying to tear us down. We need to turn that around, see what the Word of God says. We need to know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to know that we are in Christ. We need to know who our Father is. We need to know that we need to act upon the Word of God. We have to speak the Word of God. You know, we need to have all these things in motion in our life for us to be successful. God got big plans, big purposes for each and every one of us. Let's not cut ourselves short because we're allowing certain things to come in and hinder us. You know, and it's a, like I said, it's a fight of faith. You actually have to fight and battle every day. You might not realize it, but every day, you know, there's going to be things that's going to try and get you off your A game, ladies and gentlemen. But listen, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. We are overcomers. Amen? We do not have to be down. We do not have to be depressed all the time. You know, yeah, we have good days. Sometimes we have bad days. But you know what? We trust in the Lord that we'll have more good days than bad days. You know, you might have a sniffle every now and then, but thank the Lord. You know, it doesn't have to stick. It doesn't have to stay. Sometimes our bank account might laugh at us a little bit, but we can laugh right back at it, amen? And the Lord's going to supply all of our needs. Isn't that good to know that we have that assurance in Christ Jesus? That we are the righteousness of God in Christ? That we are, you know, new creatures in Christ? And that we can use that beautiful name of Jesus, you know, to get what we need? To make sure that we are taken care of? Man, God is good. Hallelujah. We need to realize that we walk in victory. And you know, God has that set out before me and you. Amen? Amen. Well, we'll stop there for tonight.